We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. Lindsey Patterson, Charlie Goldsmith. Football season is officially here. The Cincinnati Bengals took the practice field for day one of training camp. And our very own Charlie Goldsmith, not only was he at practice, he got the chance to interview players in person for the first time since 2019, which is crazy to think about. So I'm actually going to start there. Joe Burrow, which is crazy to think about because he's been on the team for a while now, but you got to interview him in person.
That's a good point. And when I think of Joe Burrow on Zoom, I think of the viral moments that went around. The number one example being when someone asked him if he'd be nervous for heading into the first game last season with no preseason. He says, when have I ever gotten nervous? And seeing Joe in person today was even more and more personal interactions like that. The one that stands out to me is when Joe Burrow spoke about some of the adjustments and mechanical tweaks he's made this year. He showed us. Said, I could talk about this for an hour, or I could just show you. And he demonstrated digging his cleats into the ground, getting more rotational turn through his core, and spoke about how those are the key towards him taking the next step and continuing to improve his ability as a deep ball thrower and improving his velocity.
You know what? It reminded me of when he talked about deleting his social media. I thought about Nick Castellanos when he's on that flip phone and what that really means. But he said, hey, look, I'm concentrating on football. I'm going to delete social media for the time being. Well, let's get to the practice field right now. We've talked about it plenty of times when it comes to OTAs, but this was going to be different. Joe says he's about 100%. And that was really the goal just a couple months ago. He wanted to be 100% when he got to training camp. He's out there now under center. And how did you feel he looked in day one?
Yeah, so it's funny, before I get to Joe, just compare him to some things we see across the NFL. We see different quarterbacks turning the ball over, different quarterbacks throwing completely errant passes, and these are number one guys. Joe Burrow, in his first full practice since last November, didn't miss a beat. Joe Burrow had none of those moments. He demonstrated specifically some of the skills that I spoke about earlier. It's funny, during the media session around noon, he said, you know, this can really help me on, say, an 18-yard comebacker down the sideline. And well, in practice, he threw an 18-yard comebacker to his best buddy, Ja'Marr Chase. These things are working. These things are already in place. And Joe Burrow, for a number one pick, has not missed a beat as he looks to take the year two jump.
I think one of the things we have talked about, and we've talked about it on this podcast, is the deep ball. That's one thing that he really wanted to work on. And he said he just wanted to be a better overall player. And his football IQ is something that I felt like we heard a lot about Joe when it was his rookie season. You're hearing about it with Ja'Marr Chase too. When it comes to the deep ball, were you seeing anything out in day one of camp? I mean, I know camp is pretty long, so a lot can happen. I know they didn't go the full 2 hours, but anything that impressed you besides him connecting with the receivers out there?
Yeah, I didn't see specifically like Joe Burrow drops back, there's a 40-yard Hail Mary to Ja'Marr Chase in the back of the end zone. It is more of a progression. So you look at these early signs when you're in early 11-on-11s and in early 7-on-7s. But again, Joe Burrow, what stood out to me as well was, you know, something Zach Taylor said. Joe Burrow gets the ball out of his hands as well and as intelligently as any quarterback in the NFL. And that was just something else I saw reinforced. There was a lot of underneath routes. He was involved in his tight ends a lot of slot receiver kind of stuff, with the exception of like that play to Chase I mentioned. So it wasn't, you know, Hail Mary four verts, but Joe Burrow did get to demonstrate some of the skills he's working on.
You knew this was going to be a topic of discussion for a while as soon as Joe was more than likely going to be cleared for week one. He's 100% now. I know week one still feels like years away, but all the preseason talk we heard from Mike Brown, Zach Taylor talked about it, and Joe mentioned it today, like, look, I wouldn't mind getting out there for a few snaps, not playing a full game. And he said that to us last year. They didn't obviously have preseason, but he wanted to take some hits in training camp, and that was never going to happen under Zach Taylor's watch. When you think about preseason and Joe Burrow, which is weeks away, we have a lot of training camp podcasts on the way before we get to it, but it's going to be a topic of discussion. What do you think is going to happen?
So first, I think the most important things that are happening are what we're seeing now. Joe Burrow showing no signs of, anything at all, not being 100%, continuing to progress as a passer and continue to show some of the improved velocity, some of the improved route concepts that he wants to focus on right now. With the preseason, I'll defer to Bengals owner Mike Brown, who kind of said it might not be worth risking it. And when the owner says something, you know, you definitely highlight that as an important perspective. If it were me in that situation, I could see it going either way. It is a matter of opinion. You know, Zach Taylor and his mentor, not mentor, but, you know, the guy he coached under most recently, Sean McVay, has a completely different strategy than what the Bengals did in 2019. Across the league, ask 32 coaches what they think. You'll get 32 different answers. But with Burrow specifically, I understand the frame of mind that Mike Brown is referencing.
I want to get to two more things right now. We'll stick with offense. When you think of training camp for the Cincinnati Bengals and just this offseason as a whole, the topic of conversation has been the offensive line. Obviously, they went to Jamar Chase in the first round of the NFL draft. They add Frank Pollock, and his voice carries when they're out there at training camp too. What were you seeing on day one from the offensive line?
So when I asked Trey Hopkins earlier today, what's the number one reason the offensive line could be better this season? He gave me two things. He said, first, the offensive line has been through the ringer the last few years. They've lost a lot of one-on-one matchups, being honest, and the players who are still here, who have been through most of those, specifically Trey Hopkins and Jonah Williams, are the guys who have been the Bengals' best offensive linemen as the unit has gone through the ringer. They've kind of stuck around in a positive way and established themselves while playing on a unit that wasn't statistically one of the better ones in the NFL. Then Hopkins says, you combine that with Coach Pollock, who he said is a no-nonsense guy who's going to get this thing right. Pollock's a tenacious coach. He was far away, but you could hear him. All of those cliches certainly apply to Frank. And the last thing Trey said was, you hear coaches say practice should be so hard that the game is easy. Frank Pollock is certainly that type of coach.
Yeah, when you flip sides right now, and speaking of the offseason, they add Trey Hendrickson on the defensive line. And obviously that's been one of their weaknesses, getting to the quarterback. What did you see from the defensive line? And one of the things when you think about training camp over the years, how much it has changed. So obviously Joe Burrow's not going to get hit in training camp. You have this offensive line out there, some new guys out there. You flip to the defensive side. There's really never going to be a test for them until preseason, even week one or two of regular season. But flipping to the defensive line, what did you see out there?
You know, Trey Hendrickson, I was very impressed, even though knowing what he brings to the table and knowing that his sack total last season might not necessarily be the most representative stat. But again, I was impressed when I just watched him go through drills where he was showing his explosiveness and his speed off the edge in 11-on-11 type situations, in situations where he was going against offensive linemen with no pads. What stands out is Trey Hendrickson's length and his size. I'm not comparing him to Carlos Dunlap, who for a while it was a Pro Bowl defensive end on the Bengals. I mean that as a compliment, as a comparison. And the Bengals last season without Dunlap for most of the year didn't have that guy with the length, and the size and the ability to just kind of push offensive linemen around in one-on-one matchups. And the ability to push an offensive lineman around in a one-on-one matchup is the best skill a defensive lineman could have. When talking about generating a pass rush, defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo has said the Bengals defensive linemen just have to beat their guys one-on-one. And watching Trey Hendrickson today, it's easy to see what they saw in him as a guy who can win that matchup because, you know, the Bengals don't have a lot of other guys on the roster like him.
Charlie, if you were to explain to the listeners who weren't at training camp today and say they don't have social media, besides Joe Burrow, besides the offensive line, besides the defensive line, what else did you take from day one of Bengals training camp?
I got two. First is Joseph Asai. I just mentioned Hendrickson. Asai is that that relief pitcher, that change of pace defensive end off the edge that I'm calling my shot now. I think he's going to have a very productive rookie season. I mentioned how Hendrickson is unique because of his size, and Hendrickson's going to start alongside Hubbard. That's not a question, but how you can rotate Asai through. He does have that quick twitch, that burst. There was a drill where they were kind of hunched down and then went straight into a pad and around. And Asai looked great doing that. The Bengals also don't have an athlete on the edge like Asai. He's very different from Hendrickson and Hubbard. He'll factor in pass rushing situations. And he'll be a guy to watch. The other one I was really impressed by was Logan Wilson. In a lot of the drills where the linebackers were going up and hitting pads, Logan Wilson, I thought was one of the most violent hitters or the most violent hitter in that linebacking group. And this is for a player in Wilson who was part of the secondary for most of his college career, who, you know, when he was drafted, it was about his ability to cover ground, not necessarily his ability to be a bruiser inside on the line of scrimmage, a thumper like, say, Josh Bynes. Well, he was showing that skill today, just, you know, when he was making contact on his hits. And then when the Bengals were doing different run gap stuff, different 11-on-11 situations where you had to be in the right spot. Logan was always in the right spot. You know, he's someone the coaching staff expects to take a step forward. He was definitely a positive sign in day one of training camp.
Going forward, what do you think you're going to see over the next week? I know you're going to be taking a trip because Charlie's the hardest working guy. You've heard me say this on this podcast plenty of times. He has the Reds beat. He has the Bengals beat. He will be on the road this weekend. But you get back to training camp next week. And what are the expectations over the next 2 weeks? Because I know, again, it has changed so much over the years on what you're really going to see out there. And some of the guys, they're not going to go full 2 hours, but they are going to get some reps.
The biggest part of this training camp for the Bengals is figuring out what their offensive line is going to be. There's no other possible answer to that question. It's all about the offensive line. And I'm very much looking forward to see it. The next practice, at the practice after that, in the weeks to come, how much they stick with five guys. Do they feel like they know who their five are right now? Specifically, say, Quentin Spain and Xavier Sulfilo, they think they're their starting guards. Then how much of a chance does Michael Jordan or a Jackson Carman or even a Trey Hill get to compete for a starting spot? How much of a true competition is that? And how much does Frank Pollock value getting the five guys who might be the leaders in the clubhouse right now the most experience together? You know, we'll see them put on the pads next week. We'll see how that unit looks up close. And again, that by far is the most important factor in this training camp.
We have plenty of content online. What is up there right now after one day in the books?
I have an in-depth breakdown of Joe Burrow's adjustments and the opportunity he sees and the control he's taking as he's looking to make the year two jump. I'll have a story up later on Trey Hopkins and kind of the miraculous ACL recovery he's made and what his presence means to the offensive line. And over the weekend, a feature on Sam Hubbard, the local player who became one of the cornerstones of the Bengals.
Go check it out, Cincinnati Inquirer Charlie Goldsmith over on Twitter. He will have you covered. Also, Sam Green, he took phenomenal photos of day one. Go check out the photo gallery. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat podcast. We have a lot of fun training camp podcasts coming on the way, short and sweet, and everything to catch you up on Bengals training camp.